Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Gary M. from San Diego.
Yeah.
My name's Gary. I'm an alcoholic. There's a lot more people from up here. This really isn't an alcoholic-sized drink. I don't know what that wouldn't work when I was out there. Happy birthday, Bill. Thanks for coming out. And my friends from Claremont Men's. Okay. My sobriety date's 1st of February 2010. My sponsor is Keith M. And my home group is Golden Hills Sunday Night Discussion and Claremont Men's. My sponsor's not here tonight, so he always tells me you can only have one home group, but I have two. So, all right. It's so nice to see Linda. I think you were the house manager at the Salvation Army when I went through there. The last time I got sober. All right, so when I was growing up, I grew up in an abusive household. My stepdad was abusive to me and my mom. And, like, he was either the, you know, great guy, or he was, you know what. And, like, I could hear he had a Chevy truck, and I could hear his truck. I'm, like, 7, 8 years old, playing outside, and I could hear his truck come from, like, a block away, and then instantly I would stop, and like my heart would start beating because I didn't know, you know, which, you know, Dave was, his name was Dave, which Dave was coming home, you know. And so like my whole childhood was in fear, you know. I was always in fear of what, you know, what he would do, or mostly it was physical abuse to my mom. And, like, verbal to me. And, like, my mom wanted me to, like, she wanted me to actually live with my dad, but I wouldn't go there because I wanted to take care of my mom, you know. So I was the only child, and my mom did the best she could with me. So he was out of the picture when I was, like, 10 years old. I might have been 11. I had a fever of 103, and I was crying, and he gave me a black eye, and I never saw him again. My mom called the cops, and he was gone. I never saw him again. And so I don't know. Like, I always had anger issues and temper. I had a bad temper, and I used to always, like, you know, use that excuse in my childhood as my behaviors. And when I found alcohol, I was 12 years old, or no, I think I was 13 years old, and I was at the river with a friend of mine, with my dad and a friend of mine, and all the men were out, like, on the boat skiing and stuff, and me and my friend found a cooler of Coors Light, like, totally stocked. And this is when I should have realized that I was an alcoholic, because there was, like, over a case of beer in there, and I drank, like, 16 beers in 3 hours, and my friend had, like, 4, you know, like, and I don't remember, you know, half of that, but it's always, like, I'm a blackout drinker. Like, once I take a drink, I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what's going to happen. And, I'll have the best intentions, you know, I've got designated drivers, and, you know, I've gotten a ride home, and in a blackout, taking my mom's car out. This is after having 2 DUIs. We'll get to that later. But, like, in a blackout, coming home, did the responsible thing, had a designated driver, and then take my mom's car out, and then show up at my friend's house. I mean, I don't remember any of this. I wake up in the morning, and my friend's like, "How'd you get here?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And so I got a ride home, and I walk in the door, and my mom's like, "Where's my effing car?" And it was Sunday. I remember it was Sunday morning. She was waiting to go to church, and it was like 10:30 when I walked in. So I had to. I went to the phone. I called my friend, and I was like, "Hey, can you look outside for my mom's car?" And he starts laughing, and so he comes and gets me. Like, we walked by my mom's car. And it was in the parking lot in the apartment building, and the windows were down, the keys were in the ignition, and the radio was on. Like this is what I do, you know. Like, and that was after having two DUIs, and you know, like God's always been with me. I'm blessed, like that. I haven't killed anybody or hurt anybody or killed myself because I've done some crazy things and not knowing it. Another story. Whenever I planned on drinking, like I would always black out. Like when it was like I'm gonna have a good time, and it was just insane how many times I would just do it over and over again, and like say I'm not gonna do it again. Like this is the last time I'm not gonna do it. And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I started. I had a handle of Captain Morgan, and I drink that straight, like, and I use a Coke as a chaser, and I was just drinking it, and I'm alone, you know, this is just me, you know, watching football, it's Sunday, I'm alone, and I remember it was when the Giants, Eli Manning, like, came into town on Friday, Sunday night game against the Chargers. It was the Sunday night game, and I don't remember any of that game. Like, I was so hammered. I was walking down the street, like, in my underwear. This is what I was told. The cops got called, and it was the La Mesa police, and they were always quick to arrest me and stuff, and I guess they were being really cool that day, because they, from what I was told, they were telling me to, you know, go sleep it off, and I was like, you know, I was just calling them pigs and F-bombs that I can't say here, and I mean, like, they gave me all the opportunity to go, and I ended up getting pepper sprayed in my own garage. So, moral of the story, if you get a drunk in public in your own house, you're probably an alcoholic, you know? So I got 5 minutes left, so I got to get sober now. I've been in and out of these rooms for like 12 years, 13 years, and Alcoholics Anonymous is the only thing that's ever worked for me. When I work this program, I'm sober. The most time I had before was a year and a half, and it was the first time I really worked the steps and was honest. And when it came to the time where I should have been giving back and working with others, I didn't do that. I got a job, got a girl, and I said, "Hey, I got it now. I got everything under control." And I stopped going to meetings. And it was within a month after going to meetings. You know, so if you're new and like you hear those, you know, things over and over again keep coming back, and you know, like, it's true. All that stuff they say is true. Like, when I go to meetings, I don't pick up a drink. Like, and it's not just the meetings, but like, I call my sponsor, I call Alcoholics every day, sober Alcoholics every day. you know, like, and when I work with others, and If I keep doing this, I'll stay sober. I don't know, like, I've always believed that, I'm losing my train of thought. So, okay, I'll go back. So this time I got sober, I worked the steps, and I'm working with others. I have three sponsees, two of them that are kind of doing their own thing. You know, like when they're ready, they'll start working the steps. You know, I have one that's about to do a fifth step with me next week, which is very exciting for me because I've never done a fifth step with a sponsee. I've always, you know, they always get there like almost to it, and then you know I don't see them again, or they go back out and come back and. But, you know, if you're new, just go to meetings, get a sponsor, find someone that you can trust, you have something in common with. You actually don't even have to have something in common with. Just someone that you can trust and that doesn't, you know, co-sign on your BS. You know, like my sponsor, he calls me on my, you know, he calls me on my stuff all the time, and it's so hard not to do that up here, but you know, I don't do everything my sponsor says, but I know how to stay sober, you know, one day at a time. It's good to see you, Jimmy. I haven't seen you in a while. Blank right now, so I'm going to sit down.